Always has some effect, as the Balaturm explains. Sorry to chop off, sometimes we have to record it in segments. While Moshe's name, as Chabad.org continues with explanations of the Blavatcher Rebbe, while Moshe's name does not appear in the Parsha of Tetzaveh, Moshe himself is very much present. The entire Parsha consists of God's words to Moshe. Indeed, the Parsha's first word is Ve'ata, and you, the you being the person of Moshe. Indeed, the word you connotes its subject's very self, while a person's name is a more superficial handle on his personality. This means that Moshe is more present in our Parsha, that is, present in a deeper, more essential way than any mention of his name could possibly express. This is fully in keeping with the Balaturm's explanation, as we cited before, because Moshe was prepared to forego mention of his name in the Torah for the sake of his people. He merited that his quintessential self, the level of self that cannot be captured by any name or designation, be eternalized by the Torah. It is this level of Moshe's self that is expressed by his nameless, quote-unquote, presence in the Parsha of Tetzaveh. You know, when we think about Moshe, we talk about Moshe, we think about his humility, we think about his humbleness, if that's a word, and we think about how he presents himself throughout the Torah, always crediting Hashem, doing things for the people, doing things not for himself, being very selfless. Indeed, the description of Moshe at the end of his life is that he himself was Eved Hashem. They could have said anything about him. Hashem could have written anything about Moshe. He could have said he did the wonders of Egypt. He took us out of Egypt. He brought us throughout the land for 40 years, judging the people, talking to the people, giving them the speech at the end of his life, always providing for the people. But it says Eved Hashem, because that is the simple yet most profound explanation and description of what Moshe did for the people. He wanted to be there for the people, and he didn't take anything for himself. And that's what it is for us. We should all try to be humble as much as possible. We shouldn't seek honor for our own purposes. We shouldn't run after honor. As Pirkei Avos teaches, if honor comes after us, we should run away from it. We should run from honor, and then honor will come to us. We shouldn't seek it or pursue it. That's the nature of what we're supposed to do, one of the many traits we should work on ourselves. We mentioned before how the Rambam explains that in all aspects of life, you're supposed to have the middle path. You're supposed to be the middle, not too giving, not too cheap, not eating too much, not eating too little. You should satiate yourself until two-thirds or three-quarters full, depending on how you look at it, as Rabbi Rosner explained in the Daf today. And you should go about things in the middle path, but in two instances we've talked about, you have to be the opposite. You have to go to the opposite, and that's arrogance and anger. Anger and arrogance are two things that when you are a part of it, it's basically consuming you, and it's basically that you're worshiping yourself, you're being selfish, and you're basically just worrying about yourself, not even worrying, but idolizing yourself, God forbid, and looking towards yourself. But in these aspects, you have to be not arrogant. You have to be the opposite, completely get rid of arrogance, realizing that you're a tiny speck of dust in the land, and Hashem is the one that's over there and all the grandeur and taking care of everything. And we have to be thinking of ourselves as but dust and ash. Like Avram said, Avram Avinu, I'm just dust and ash. And Moshe and Aaron also say, who are we? What are we? Signifying that they really have no element, that we're just peons, just people in God's system, and we have to try to do as much as we can to be humble. If people give you compliments, shrug it off and say, really, it's all Hashem. We shouldn't take things to heart. If a person keeps taking things to heart and keeps on taking things, then he just can become overinflated and ego-filled and arrogant to the full extent. And also another idea here is that the idea of the nameless presence. You know, we are the forebears of the people behind us. We carry with us our ancestors' names, legacies, and spirituality, and their different personalities, their different traits. Just as the name of a person is divinely inspired by his parents when they're thinking of what to name the child, so too we carry with us the sparks of the people before us. We carry with us the ancestors. Even though our ancestors are not with us, even though they're not physically with us, spiritually they are with us, and we carry with them whatever our namesake, whoever we're named for, we have those sparks, we have those elements. So remember that you're carrying the legacy of the people before you, and try to live up to that legacy. If they were big Balei Chesedim, then you try to be that. If they're big Lamdim, try your ability to do whatever you can to live up to your namesake. We should be humble, but realize our talents, recognize our talents, utilize our talents, which we've talked many times together about. And if you use those talents to make the world a better place, then you could realize that is what we're here to do, to make the world a better place, to be Tikkun Olam as much as possible. Even if your name, like Moshe, his name was not in the Parsha, but his presence was very much filled, so too, even if we're humble, our presence will very much be filled, and those before us will very much be filled if we carry with them, carry ourselves the traits that they gave us and the personality abilities that they gave us. Join us next time as we talk about the Parsha here on Audio DT with Reb T.